Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Political animals doesn't just refer to people, but actual animals, because a large amount of politicians have pets. So what does that say about them? What does it say about people who don't have any? Peter Cardwell is the author of Political Animals, The Secret Life of the Political Pets of Westminster and Washington. Peter, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Well, can we start with Westminster, number 10 and Westminster? Do many buildings in that general area have cats?
Well, it's interesting because the mice have been a problem for many, many years, and there have been a number of government buildings over the years that have. As we speak right now, it's only really the Downing Street itself and the Cabinet Office next door. That's the sort of central bit of government in Westminster, and they have two cats, Evie and Ossie. And then at number 10, of course, they have the very famous Larry the cat, who's been there. He's on his sixth prime minister, believe it or not. And unlike the chopping and changing in a lot of UK politics in recent years, he is a constant.
He is indeed. And as you say, extremely popular. I think he has better name recognition than a lot of the human occupants of...
You're absolutely right, actually. We did some polling for the book, actually, and we did a big poll on name recognition, and he has 47% name recognition. There are many politicians who would love to have that.
Who looks after Larry? I mean, I can't imagine it's Keir Starmer's getting down on his hands and knees with a tin of whiskers every evening.
He's not. No, there are people called custodians, basically the people who are the open and close the door, the security staff, and they are on a 24-hour rota and they look after him. In fact, there's one of those people spoke to me for the book, told me all about Larry, and he's very, very popular. He gets a lot of children sending him in toys and drawings and cards and all sorts of things from all over the world as well. And he is a very, very popular symbol of not just the Prime Minister, not really Keir Starmer particularly, but the institution, I suppose, of 10 Downing Street and the home across all sorts of different political parties and the state, I suppose, of the UK.
Yeah, but my impression is he has free rein around number 10.
He does, yeah. And actually, you know, he's had such a bad relationship with some other animals who've been in number 10, Boris Johnson's dog, for example, Rishi Sunak's dog as well, didn't get on with Larry. So they've actually, Keir Starmer has two cats. He has a cat called Jojo and a cat called Prince, and they're kept completely apart from Larry. They're kept in the number 10, or actually number 11, flat that the Starmer family live in, because Larry he's a bit old and grumpy these days, and he is, of course, master of all his surveys.
Yeah, and do they have a little cat flap for him, where he can go
they
and
don't,
do his business?
It's a bomb-proof door, so you can't really put a cat flap on a bomb-proof door. It slightly negates the purpose of the door, I would imagine. But no, what happens is that they have a little camera that says who's at the front. I used to work in politics. I was a special advisor, as the job is, and I've also been a journalist on Downing Street. And when you go up to the front of 10 Downing Street, you wrap the door or you can ring the bell, but they know you're there because they can see you on the camera. So they see Larry on the camera. Sometimes the policeman standing outside will knock the door and Larry is let in. So it was quite funny, actually. I remember the day after the Brexit vote came through in 2016, there was a brilliant meme going around saying Larry's got out, but now he thinks he might want back in again.
Yes. And Angela Rayner nearly killed Larry.
Yeah, she did, actually. Yes. In fact, I interviewed Keir Starmer for the book, and he said that what happened was that she was getting in to her ministerial car. She was deputy prime minister at the time. And the car kind of moved off, a big sort of bulletproof Range Rover moved off and nearly flattened Larry. Thankfully, loads of photographers were there and shouted that the cat was there. The car stopped and it was all right. But the video went viral, but actually went so viral that Angela Rayner herself sent it on her phone to Keir Starmer, who was in Canada at the time of the G7. And she just put the caption on it, all under control here, boss.
Ah, God, if they'd hit the cat, though, he probably would have had to stay in Canada.
Curtains for her, I think. But yes, it was pretty close. But no, Larry stays. He's certainly an animal that has lasted the course.
Yeah. Now, and as you mentioned, prime ministers come in and out, and sometimes they bring their own pets with them. You mentioned Boris Johnson's dog Dylan didn't get on with Larry. Seemed to be, let's say, over affectionate at times to people.
Yes. It's funny, actually, because some people say animals look a bit like their owners. Now, Rishi Sunak, he had a very sleek and bright-eyed and eager-to-please dog, whereas Boris Johnson's dog was a bit all over the place. You know, it was the hair falling off him. And I'm afraid getting fairly amorous with anything that moved and doing a few things he shouldn't have done, such as stealing food from Larry. But no, there was Dominic Cummings, you may remember, the controversial advisor. And I interviewed Boris Johnson for the book as well. And he said, look, there was one occasion where Dylan was getting a little bit too amorous with Dominic Cummings' leg. And his exact quote was, I had to go and remove Dylan after a while.
Yeah. So so Boris Johnson had a pet dog that would hump anything.
Yes, indeed. Well, hard to believe.
We'll let the listeners draw their own conclusions from
that. Well, they will. The other thing was that he had another advisor, Uncle Katie Lamb, who's now an MP, and she foolishly left her handbag open. And Dylan relieved himself in the handbag. And I tackled Boris Johnson about this. I said, you know, you can't just have a dog that goes around peeing in people's handbags. And he said, look, you know, what's a bit of urine between friends? As far as I'm concerned, women have all sorts of things in their handbags, which I thought was a very Boris Johnson kind of answer, really, wasn't it?
Wasn't it, Joe? And Dylan then, I assume, was allowed to wander the halls and maybe go into high-level meetings and that kind of thing.
Yeah, indeed. And actually, there's a bit of a tradition of this. I mean, with some of the history in the book as well, Churchill had a load of different animals, and there was one particular cat who would sit in on the cabinet meetings. There were American presidents, Teddy Roosevelt, Warren Harding, for example, who had dogs, and they had sometimes their own chair in cabinet meetings as well. So often the dignitaries that would come to the White House, for example, were told to kind of move around the sleeping dog or the sleeping cat on the red carpet because they were more important. So I think just as some of us at home, of course, I have a rescue cat, his name is Jack, just as he's the most important thing in my life and more important than many humans, there are quite a few politicians who felt that way over the years as well.
Yeah, now, and you mentioned the White House there as well, because it had almost become de rigueur for an American president to have usually a dog, because I assume, well, maybe they had the dog anyway, but it would soften their image and make them appear a bit more cuddly and relatable to people.
Totally correct. And actually, every president, apart from two, have had animals in the White House. Now, one of them that hasn't is Donald Trump. So it's interesting. People sometimes say to me, you know, do you need an animal to be popular as a politician? Well, Donald Trump has won two elections without having any animals. But interestingly, in 2020, when Donald Trump was against Joe Biden, there was a group that did an ad for dogs. And it said, every president since the Second World War has had a dog in the White House, except one. And then they had a picture of Donald Trump. Huh. And then it said, dogs, choose your humans wisely. But there's a lovely connection, actually, between Ireland and the White House. Of course, the Kennedys were huge fans of Ireland, and the whole book written, of course, about JFK's visit to Ireland, and felt very, very affectionately. And Eamon de Valera actually gave a pony called Leprechaun to Caroline Kennedy. Caroline Kennedy, one of the Kennedy children, and they had all sorts of animals, and one of them was a pony called Leprechaun.
Yeah, I imagine they would probably, especially if the American First Family would be gifted animals or offered animals
well,
at least all
you're
the
absolutely
time.
Right, actually. And the Kennedys, actually, JFK put a moratorium on it and said, look, you can't give us any more animals. We've got loads of animals. But he allowed de Valera to give Leprechaun the pony because that was such a special thing. And the link, of course, was so incredibly strong with Ireland. But yes, everybody else had to not do that. And actually, when JFK was very sadly assassinated, and Jackie Kennedy went to live in New York in a in an apartment, of course, much less space in the White House. Many of the animals had to go to other homes. They all got good homes, but the Kennedys couldn't look after them all at that stage.
Yeah. Now, also, JFK's daughter was given a dog by Khrushchev.
That's right. Yes. So this was a really interesting one. And actually, the dog was swept for bugs. And
I imagine.
Well, this was at the height of the Cold War, of course. And this was it's actually a really good lesson in how, and the Irish example is too, but probably a better example with Khrushchev and the dog, is that sometimes, you know, links between different countries are used through animals. And the Chinese, of course, invented panda diplomacy and gave two pandas to Nixon, the slightly later president, when he came to China, of course. And really, the option of giving a gift of these animals is something that many, many countries have done over the years. What's interesting as well is that animals can be used to intimidate, even animals that sometimes are perhaps not intimidating to most people. But Angela Merkel, for example, the German chancellor, is terrified of dogs because, well, the former German chancellor is terrified of dogs. She was attacked by a dog in 1995. And she had a meeting, speaking of another Russian leader, actually, with Vladimir Putin in, I think it was 2003. And he allowed his dog to roam into the meeting. And it was a Labrador, pretty friendly dog, but she was absolutely terrified. So it can be used both to intimidate and to attempt to make friends, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, no, I'm probably a lot of people listening will remember that episode. Is it 100% clear he did it deliberately?
He says he didn't. He says he didn't know. But Angela Merkel writes in her autobiography, actually, I've quoted her in my book, and she says that she's pretty sure that he knew and that was a deliberate tactic. It's up to people who they believe, I suppose. But certainly it was a well-known thing about Angela Merkel that she was terrified of dogs.
Mm. Actually, going back to the White House, Biden's dog, there were reports at the time that Biden's dog was biting security staff.
You're absolutely right. Actually, there were three of them, and one in particular, Major, was a dog who did not take to the White House at all and bit several Secret Service agents. And actually, this was kind of suppressed because there was an election on at the time coming up to the 2024 election when Biden was still the candidate. And there were a number of journalists who were trying to get to the bottom of it, how many health and safety reports were there, how many agents were there who'd been bitten and so on. And it really was suppressed as a thing. It turned out that actually all the dogs were sent to live in other places at various points. But certainly there are animals, not just dogs in the White House, but right across the piece, who really don't take to life in a busy office as well. And essentially, if you think about it from the animal's perspective, most of our animals, certainly my cat, is a bit wary of visitors. But if you're in somewhere like the White House or Downing Street, well, there are going to be visitors there all the time. There was one cat in Whitehall, Gladstone, the Treasury cat, who just didn't take to it at all. And the rescue place where he came from, Battersea Dogs and Cats Home, thought that he would like it. He didn't, and he went off to live with a civil servant. There's a lovely story actually about Palmerston, who is the cat who was in the Foreign Office, no longer there, but he got a bit fat because lots of people were giving him dreamies, giving him too many of these treats. Really, you shouldn't have more than about 15 dreamies a day, and he was getting an awful lot, and people were bringing them in and so on. And anyway, they implemented a wonderful sort of British Foreign Office kind of thing, the Palmerston Protocols, about where he was allowed to go and who was allowed to feed him and all the rest of it, and everybody had to sign up to this. And then eventually, actually, they decided he was going to go and live with a civil servant, and the permanent secretary, the most senior civil servant, Lord MacDonald, Simon MacDonald, who spoke to me for the book, he said, look, when people said to him, where did Palmerston go? He always said he went to live in the country. And some people thought maybe it's a little bit of a euphemism. But he went to live with a guy called Andy Murdoch. Andy Murdoch then became governor of Bermuda. And now Palmerston, the cat, lives in the governor's mansion in Bermuda.
Wow. Yes. I hope Palmerston is enjoying that.
He loves it. He loves it. And actually, believe it or not, there are whole companies that are involved in transporting animals right across the world. But no, he's got his own Twitter account and he's really happy there. And although Simon MacDonald did say, I fear for the bird life of Bermuda.
Yes, indeed. And finally, Obama's dog. Is it true Obama, like this sounds really smart, spookily smart, that the dog could operate the lifts in the White House?
That is certainly the rumor about Bo, the Portuguese water dog. And actually, it was funny because they didn't have a dog. And then I remember actually watching, I was working as a journalist in America, and I remember on the night that Obama was elected, it was a really, really special, really kind of almost eerily calm evening where he was elected. And he was giving his sort of acceptance speech in Chicago. And he talked about his daughters and said, you know, you've been through a lot with this campaign and I've been away a lot. I haven't seen you, but, you know, you're getting a puppy coming to the White House. And one of his daughters, I think it's Malia, is allergic to certain dogs. So they needed a hypoallergenic dog. So they had to not have a rescue dog, which they wanted to get. They had to buy a dog. And yes, the dog, apparently very, very intelligent. I mean, you would know that, wouldn't you, from a member of the Obama family? They're all so intelligent. And yes, I think learned to operate the lift anyway. So that was that's quite amazing.
That is quite useful as well.
It certainly is, yeah.
You don't need to install a doggy door for Bo. Peter, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was fascinating. That was Peter Cardwell there, author of Political Animals, The Secret Life of the Political Pets of Westminster and Washington.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.